The peace of the Lord be with you. I have four announcements. I hope you've all seen the wonderful poppies outside. If you've come in the back, please make sure you go out the front and have a look. We've got Church Crafters and Pam Lutting to thank for that. Sharon has organised Sponsor a Poppy. You can sponsor a poppy for a donation for somebody that you want to remember. And you can buy cards with poppies on for £5. And there is the British Legion poppy box out there for poppies as well. And all the money will go to the British Legion from the Sponsor a Poppy appeal. The COVID exhibition is coming to an end. If you have something in the exhibition and you haven't picked it up yet, can you pick it up after church, please? The floor is finished and it looks beautiful, and the coffee shop needs to go back into the front. So if you are able to help move the tables and chairs from the church hall to the welcome area after church, that would be greatly appreciated. And finally, names for the bereavement service. If you have a name you want read out at the bereavement service, can you let the office know by midweek, please? And the bereavement service is next Sunday at 4 p.m. Okay. So we have Chris with us today, and we look forward to what you have to say to us.
Good morning. Good morning. It's good to be together. This morning's service is on the theme of Climate Sunday, and it's embracing creation, climate change, and prayers for COP26. But let us start with an opening prayer. Let us pray. Father God, thank you for your wonderful world, for the variety of animals, trees, and plants, for the beautiful autumn colours, and for all the different fruits and vegetables, for clean water to drink, and our warm, comfortable homes. We are sorry when we don't look after your world, or when we waste resources so that others go without. Help us each day to try our best to look after your world and everything in it. Through Jesus Christ our Lord we pray. Amen. How great thou art, O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all thy works thy hand has made. So let's stand and sing our opening hymn this morning. How great thou art.
Thank you.
Now I have a good friend, and he knows everything. You may know him. He's called Google. I asked him some questions about different species in the world. And I thought I would ask you the same questions with a 50-50% chance of getting it right. But first of all, can anybody think of a creature that can be found in the garden, normally near ponds, with four legs and jumps? Yes.
What?
A frog. Excellent. Very good. So, first question. How many species of frog are there in the world? Is it 2,000 or 5,000? So if you think it's 2,000, can I encourage you to put your hand up? And if it's 5,000, can you put your hand up? You're right. It's 5,000 species of frog. Isn't that incredible? I'm not going to ask you to name them. Okay, so let's move on to birds. How many species of birds do you think there might be? And I've got two options for you. It could be 4,000 or it could be 9,000. So hands up anybody who thinks it's 4,000. Just a few. Hands up those who think it's 9,000. You're right. 9,000 species of birds. And moving on to trees. What do you think about trees? Is it 30,000 or 60,000? How many think it's 60,000? What about 30,000? 60 is correct. 60,000 species. In fact, it's over 60,000. And moving on even higher, what about plants? Is it 390,000 or 210,000? So who thinks 390,000? Yeah. And what about 210,000? It is in fact 390,000. Doesn't that say something about the vastness of creation and about God who created every bit? I've got one final question. And this time it's going to be a true or false. So, it is estimated that 15 million different species of animal live on our planet. But only 2 million of them are currently known to science. Now, do you think that's true or false? So if you think that's false, put your hands up. If you think it's true, put your hands up. And you're right. It's true. Isn't it incredible? I can't get my head around. And only 2 million are known. So there's all those unknown animals out there. Okay, we're going to sing a song. It's a beautiful world out there. Simply awesome beyond compare. And it's Tidal Wave. We sung this at Toddler Church. And I know you children know the actions. Tidal Wave. So you can do the actions. And if adults join in, if you'd like to. So let's stand and sing Tidal Wave. We haven't got the sound up. Can we go back to the beginning, Paul? Can we turn the sound up a bit more?
You painted colours in the sky, made the clouds. You painted colours in the sky, made the clouds a tower high. We worship you. You scatter stars with
Peter, get any more volume.
Dust of rock with golden sands. We worship you. It's a beautiful world out there. Simply awesome beyond compare. It's a beautiful world out there, and it's made by you. we bow down, humbled by the world you made, King of love and King of grace. Our voices in wonder and louder than thunder roar. You completely take our breath away. Our simple prayer is this each day.
Before our children and young people leave us, let's have a prayer. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just give you thanks for all the children and young people in this place. And we pray that they may grow in faith, love, and appreciation of your wonderful world. We pray now for them as they go into their groups. Be with them. Be with their leaders too. And may it all be for your praise and glory, for we ask it in your name. Amen. Amen. Yeah, young people and children are going to leave us. Keith's going to read our readings this morning. First one is Psalm 24, which is one of David's psalms. And the second one is from Genesis, chapter 1, verses 24 to 31, which is about creation and the sixth day. Thank you, Keith.
The first reading is the whole of Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's, and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For he founded it upon the seas, and established it on the waters. Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not trust in an idol or swear by a false god. They will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God their Saviour. Such is the generation of those that who seek him, who seek your face, God of Jacob. Lift up your heads, you gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of Glory may come in. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord mighty and strong, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, you gates, lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of Glory may come in. Who is he, this King of Glory? The Lord Almighty, he is the King of Glory. And from Genesis chapter 1, reading from verse 24 to the end. The sixth day. And God said, let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, the livestock, the creatures that move along the ground, and the wild animals, each according to its kind. And it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea, and the birds in the air, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God he created them, male and female he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth, and all the birds in the sky, and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food. And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thanks be to God for these readings from his word.
Thank you, Keith. The reflection this morning I've divided into two parts. The first, looking at creation, and the second, looking more at practical ways that we can individually and collectively look after this planet. Genesis 1, verse 1 says, "In the beginning, God created heavens and the earth." Then later, in verse 28, God asks us to take charge of the earth. He still owns it, but he's putting us in charge of it. In the early chapters of Genesis, God gives us four key instructions as to how we're supposed to take care of his planet. He says he wants us to subdue it, to rule over it, to work it, and to take care of it. Firstly, subdue it. What does God mean when he says subdue the earth? A few years ago, at a leadership summit, the speaker was giving a final talk to close the conference. A woman got up out of her seat and started coming down the aisle. She was going to make her way onto the stage. The speaker carried on, confident that security would intercept her. Just before she got to the stage, sure enough, one of the security people slipped out of the row, put his arm round her, and he subdued her. Now, what does that mean? It doesn't mean that he manhandled her. All he did was to bring her into conformity with the behavioural standards of the event. He walked her into the lobby and calmed her down. That's what the meaning is in Genesis. God says that whatever gets unruly, if the vines overgrow the pathways, if trees require trimming, it should get subdued, brought under control. Secondly, rule over it. Rule over it denotes having authority over it. Parents are told in Scripture to rule over their children, which simply means they're to bring them into orderliness. They're to provide them with safety, and they're to develop them consistently over a long period of time. The New Testament also warns parents not to do it the wrong way. It's the same with God's world. We're to have authority over it, but not in an abusive kind of way. Thirdly, work it. The next phrase says we're to work it. For any of you that are gardeners, you know that if you're going to grow things successfully, you have to spend time working in the garden. You have to prepare the ground, seed it, weed it, water it, and work it. Then it will bear fruit. And fourthly, take care of it. The fourth instruction is to take care of it. And the sense of this is to keep it safe. More than that, it's to protect it from any kind of harm. So those are four key instructions. Subdue it, rule over it, work it, take care of it. Don't let anything nasty happen to this world that God has entrusted to us. The earth is the Lord's. This is God's world. And the psalmist echoed this. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. The oceans, the forests, the plains, the rivers, the lakes, everything belongs to God. Beyond Genesis and into Exodus, chapter 26, God rebukes his people for not resting the land they were farming. He accuses them of soil abuse, which is what they were doing. God had established rhythms of how the land was supposed to be used, land by his decree should lie fallow, get rested, refurbished, then farmed again. Deuteronomy 20, God instructs soldiers not to damage fruit trees when they're attacking an enemy city. God says, "Those are my trees. I gave them to you so you could eat from them." And in Proverbs 12, God instructs those who own animals, treat them respectfully. There should be no soil abuse, no tree abuse, no animal abuse. God says, "Everything in my creation is mine. I want you to treat it respectfully, subdue it, rule over it, work it, but protect it and take care of it." Why is this so important? In the New Testament, Romans chapter 1 verse 20, it says God reveals himself to everyone through the power and beauty of his creation. Creation itself is apologetic for the existence of God. It's a powerful witness. Psalm 19 states, "The heavens declare the glory of God." God places such a high value on creation because he knows that some of us need to be in the context of his created splendor in order to quiet ourselves enough to open up to him. It is often in the beauty of creation we can sense his presence and are able to hear his voice clearly. How many of you can think of a time when you were in a forest, a mountain range, or by the ocean, by a river, under the stars, and you had some kind of defining moment with God, or a moment of deep meaning because you were in nature? Creation itself can do powerful things to those of us who know God. Jesus spent time by the Sea of Galilee, and at other times he would go into the mountains or find quiet places in nature. When he was in his Father's world, he could relate to his Father very closely. So God's creation has intrinsic value, but it also adds value to our lives in some unexpected ways. It sets the context for defining moments. It calms our spirits. It stimulates creativity. It increases our faith. We understand why God values nature, so let's ask ourselves the question that has to be asked. Are we in fact subduing, rule over, working, and taking care of the created realm in a way that God had in mind when he gave us those instructions? Did you know that about a third of the earth's soil is now unfit for growing food because of the overuse of fertilizers and waste disposal practices? Soil abuse. Did you know that 20 major cities around the world have air pollution indexes so high that government officials are encouraging citizens to wear breathing masks to and from work? Did you know that rainforests that once covered 14% of the earth and are key to the entire global ecosystem have been reduced to 6%? Did you know every year more oceans, rivers, lakes and streams are polluted, compromising the drinking water of up to 1 billion people? And did you ever connect up the dots to understand that the poor, especially the poor, in the developing world suffer disproportionately and exponentially with the environment when the environment starts to go bad? Life is a succession of choices. Either we consult God in the process, or we go our own way. Each one of us can choose to make small changes that can make a difference in helping to care for God's planet. It could be as simple as changing to LED light bulbs, shopping more ethically, using reusable cups and water bottles. If we turned our thermostat down just a few degrees, our fuel consumption would go down by as much as 10%. Could we be more careful with our use of water? Or could we use our cars less and walk more? These things matter. They're part of the mandate to subdue, rule over, work, and take care of our Father's world. But they also matter because the poor really suffer when those of us in the developed world get careless with our energy consumption and pollution. When we consume a lot of energy, it drives prices up all over the world. When the poor get to the point that they can no longer afford energy at the prices where it comes to them, that they go outside and cut down trees. They cut down trees not to build homes, but for cooking and keeping themselves warm at night. Almost the entire island of Haiti has been deforested. It's destroyed their country, and this happens all over the world. The poor, if they're downstream from a factory that's polluting their rivers, just keep drinking out of the rivers because they can't afford to dig wells, and they can't afford to purify their water. As a result, thousands of children die of diarrhea. When soil gets worn out, the poor can't afford to let it lie fallow, so they overwork it, and then they get nothing to eat. American author Beth Clark writes, "I've noticed something about people who make a difference in the world. They hold to the unshakable conviction that individuals are extremely important, that every life matters. They are willing to feed one stomach, educate one mind, treat one wound. They are determined to revolutionize the world. They aren't determined to revolutionize the world all at once. They're satisfied with small changes. Over time, though, the small changes add up. Sometimes they even transform cities and nations and, yes, the world. May God help us take our responsibility for creation, His creation, seriously, and to make right choices day by day as we live our lives as stewards of His beautiful world. Amen." We sing again hymn number 99. "All creatures of our God and King, lift up your voice and with us sing." And we sing verses 1, 2, 3, 4 and 7. So we come to reflection part two. This year for Climate Sunday, individuals and churches are encouraged to worship, act and speak out. The first reflection looked at the biblical perspective, and now we consider the practical one, encouraging us all to act and speak out. What could or should we do, both individually and collectively? I am not a climate change expert, but the situation is serious and complex. But I would suggest that to do nothing is not an option. There is so much material and information in the public domain that I couldn't even attempt to condense and summarise it for inclusion in a service. However, I want to share with you this short video from the Years Project, which I hope you will find helpful.
With no technology at all, restoring the world's ecosystems could make it happen. The Earth knows how to regulate itself. It has maintained a balance that has sustained life for billions of years. But by destroying whole ecosystems, humans have tipped that balance, causing atmospheric CO2 levels to be higher now than in the last 3 million years. Restoring those ecosystems and the species that live within them could bring the Earth back into balance. Here are three natural strategies that can have a big impact. Restoring forests. Humans have already cut down half the world's trees. Trees breathe in carbon and store it safely away where it can't heat the earth. Old forests are invaluable. Their strength and size allow them to withstand wildfires and other climate-fueled disasters. We need to stop the large-scale deforestation caused by large-scale cattle ranching, palm oil plantations, and commercial timber, and bring these lands back to their natural state before it's too late. When a forest is lost anywhere, people feel it everywhere. Protecting wildlife. We are now in the midst of the sixth great extinction event. Billions of animal populations have been killed. Since 1970, the global human population has doubled, but humans have destroyed 83% of other wild mammals. This is dire because animals are nature's first defenders. Mega herbivores like elephants and tapirs spread the seeds of trees that can store the most carbon. When wolves disappeared from Yellowstone for 70 years, elk herds made a meal out of the forest and vegetation declined. But when wolves were reintroduced, they forced the elk herds to continually move and the trees sprang back. Every being maintains a balance. Rebuilding coastal habitats. Up to 67% of mangroves, 35% of marshes, and 30% of seagrass have already been lost. If we continue on this path, we will lose up to 40% more marshes and seagrass, and mangroves could be completely wiped out in just 100 years. Though only a tiny ribbon of land, coastal habitats secure carbon 40 times faster than tropical forests. That's because they're storing carbon in the soil several meters deep and thousands of years old. When this same coastal ecosystem is drained or destroyed, the sediment layers below release the carbon from centuries past. Destroying coastal areas is the equivalent of as much as 19% of the emissions from tropical deforestation in the whole world. Revitalizing ecosystems is not a substitute for rapid decarbonization. We have to do both. To fully solve this problem, we need to push for this on a policy level. But there are plenty of ways that you can get personally involved. Volunteer to restore a wetland or a native forest area. Eat a more plant-based diet. Support the organizations aligned with natural climate solutions. Champion the UN's RED system, which helps developing countries manage and use those forests responsibly. End illegal logging by only buying wood products that carry this label. The world's living systems have been undervalued and underfunded. Humanity should give attention to nature as the forgotten solution, the oldest and wisest of them all.
The EU and the UK emit 7.3% of the world's CO2 emissions. So you could conclude that anything you and I do as individuals are insignificant. But I want to share with you the importance of one throughout history. And it should never be underestimated. In 1645, one vote gave Oliver Cromwell control over England. In 1776, one vote gave America the English language instead of German. In 1875, one vote changed France from a monarchy to a republic. And in 1923, one vote gave Adolf Hitler control of the Nazi Party. In the Bible, one man was chosen to confront Pharaoh and lead the Exodus. One man made a difference to the victim who got mugged on the Jericho Road. One boy offered his loaves and fishes to feed thousands of people. Never underestimate the power of one, because you and I can make a difference. Your individual response to climate change is one for your conscience, and it's between you and your Creator God. But how can we act collectively? Let me start with some of the things that we as a church have done. LMC has an environmental policy. It's not perfect, but a good base on which to build. In summary, it states Loughton Methodist Church is committed to protecting the environment by demonstrating high standards of environmental responsibility to God's planet. Many of you will know that we've been awarded the Eco Church Bronze status, which encourages church to take environmental considerations into account in all that they do. And this includes worship and teaching, buildings, land, community and global engagement, and lifestyle. We installed some years ago a ground source heat pump system as our heating source for the main building, and thermal panels to supply hot water to LifeWorks and Wesley Hall. We purchased fair trade goods for use in Wesley's cafe. We collect and recycle clothes for Whitechapel's mission, and recycle our cardboard and paper and cafe waste. We use a green utility provider. We have increased our loft insulation and our usage of LED lighting. And we've installed water savers in the toilet systems and have stopped selling plastic bottled water to encourage the use of refillable containers. Could we do more? Certainly. And the challenge is to come and join us. Eco Church Gold status is an objective, and this is where your ideas can help. Are you willing to join a small group at LMC to help us drive this forward? Individuals can also sign up to Eco Church, and you might like to do that. In addition, there is a small interchurch group championing green issues. Keith Aldred, on our behalf, was invited to join the group with St Michael's and St Mary's to meet with our MP, Dame Eleanor Lang, and put to her their views on the UK contribution to COP26. Dame Eleanor agreed to pass letters on that they wrote to the Prime Minister, the Chancellor, and the President of COP26. If you're interested in finding out more or joining the Green Champion Group, please speak to Keith. The Methodist Church nationally recently encouraged members to sign an open letter to Alok Sharma, the UK Government Minister, who is the President of COP26. You, like me, may have been one of them. So what about the future? On Saturday, 6th of November, there will be a day of action in London to demand action to prevent global heating and help those suffering most. You can join the faith groups marching to Trafalgar Square, either in person or virtually. Information has been circulated via the LMC WhatsApp last Wednesday, or please speak to Alec Brown, who will have more information. So in summary, never underestimate what you or I can do, individually or collectively. We have a choice to act and speak out or remain silent. May God help us all, individually and collectively, with our responses. Amen. Let us pray. Creator God, giver of life, you sustain the earth and direct the nations. In this time of climate crisis, grant us clarity to hear the groaning of creation and the cries of the poor. Challenge us in our lifestyles and guide our leaders to take courageous action. Enable your church to be a beacon of hope and foster in us a renewed vision of your purposes for your world. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We come now to our prayers of intercession. There is a response. When I say, Lord, in your mercy, please respond with, hear our prayer. So let us pray. Let us pray that the church and all its members may never become static, but flow constantly forward in the direction God wants us to go, true to Christ's teaching, and in unswerving loyalty to him, and then undistracted by worldly values. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Let us pray that we may tend for the world God has given us, that its food and riches may be shared and wisely used, and its resources safely and thoughtfully deployed without waste or destruction. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Let us pray for all those who are ill, injured, or distressed, that they may be touched by the healing hand of Jesus and be made whole and comforted by his presence. And this morning we especially remember the Queen, who has been told to rest for 2 weeks. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Let us pray for the COP26 summit. Give world leaders the wisdom they need to agree positive collective action to tackle all climate change issues with energy and determination, and to help those countries who are hardest hit by global warming. And in a moment of quiet, we bring to God our own prayers for COP26. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And finally, we pray for ourselves, that we may have the courage to speak out and act as good ambassadors for you. Guide us, lead us, and inspire us, we pray. Accept all these prayers through Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught us when we pray to say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Pre-COVID times, we would take a collection, and I know many of you now give by standing order, but I don't think that should go overlooked. And so I want to offer a sort of offertory prayer. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, we offer you our time, our talent, and our money as a token of our love. Take it, multiply it, and use it so that your kingdom may come on earth as in heaven. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 353. Jesus is Lord. Creation's voice proclaims it. So let's stand and sing our final hymn. Thanks to everyone who's contributed to this service, and I hope this morning you feel encouraged, equipped, and gently nudged into some sort of action. So let us close with a blessing. So let us go in peace to live and work to God's praise and glory. and the blessing of God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with us all and those we have prayed for, now and evermore. Amen.